The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day that you have filled with your power and your spirit. And I now ask for your blessings upon all of us, as in his name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start by thanking our flautist. I think that's the way you pronounce that. My musician at Zion used to always remind me, it's not flutist, it's flautist. So I want to thank our two flautists for bringing so much to our worship. The second song they played is one of my favorite melody tunes, so I thank them for that. I want to tell you a story. I remember several years ago, maybe 10 even, I was still at Zion in Worcester, and I had this guy call me up on the phone one day, and he wanted to know if he and his wife could set up a marital counseling session with the pastor. He said, "I heard you got some stuff you got learned in psychology. Maybe you can help us." He said, "You know, we've tried everybody else and nothing's worked, so we thought we'd give you a shot at it." And I thought, gosh, with such confidence and enthusiasm, how can I fail? That's sarcasm, by the way. Anyways, they came in. I sat down in my favorite chair with my cup of coffee in hand, and they sat at opposite ends of the sofa and proceeded to fight, basically scream at each other in alternating fashion. And I just sort of stood there sipping my coffee for about 15 or 20 minutes. I sort of felt like I was at a tennis match, actually, you know, kind of. And I didn't say anything. And finally, after about 20 minutes, I guess they tired themselves out, one of them looked at me and said, "Well, aren't you going to say anything?" And I said, "I didn't think that was my job. I thought I was scorekeeper. And oh, by the way, you're ahead 10-9. The problem was they weren't listening to each other. They were so busy arguing and fighting, they didn't stop to listen. And that prompted me, actually, to write an article, which was published, in which I talked about why is it that people don't listen to each other? What are the things that get in the way of us listening? And I came up with at least six in this article. So I'm going to quote me. I like quoting me. Number one, being preoccupied with other things and not really listening. You ever got caught up in that? Yeah, being preoccupied with other things and not listening. In fact, I'm going to talk about that in my kids' sermon, because as I was driving here this morning, and of course you know I always obey the speed limit when I'm driving on 30. Thanks for that laugh. I was probably going about 68. I was going a little bit over the speed limit. And this woman came flying past me like I was standing still, and she sort of got my attention as I saw this street go past me. I turned to my left and looked, and there she was, of course, on her cell phone, jabbering away. And I'm thinking, you're passing me, you're probably going about 75 miles an hour, I don't have your undivided attention. And probably she was so busy talking on the phone she didn't even notice how fast she was going. So sometimes we become preoccupied with other things and we stop listening. Or how about we become so interested in what we have to say that you listen mainly to find an opening to get your word in. I think we do that a lot, don't we? I mean, we're sort of like the Peanuts characters. You know, when somebody else is talking, all we hear is wah, 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 wah. And when the wah, wah, wah stops, oh, now it's my turn to talk. And we really haven't heard a thing the other person has said. When the other person is talking, number three, we're so busy formulating and listening to our own rebuttals rather than what the speaker has to say to us. How about number four? Listening only to your own personal beliefs about a subject rather than the speaker. We know we're right about this issue, so why bother listening? I like talking to people who disagree with me because it challenges what I believe and makes me think about why I'm believing that. But sometimes we are so tuned into what we want to hear, all we hear is what we want to hear and nothing else. Number five, evaluating and making judgments about the speaker rather than what he has to say. I don't have to listen to you, Dick. I don't even like you. See, your wife's agreeing with me. Do we do that? I don't like you, so I'm not even going to listen. Do that in politics all the time, don't we? I don't like the party that person belongs to. I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say because they're wrong. I know that. So I don't have to listen. Not asking for clarification when you do not understand what the speaker is saying. Never bother asking, what do you mean by that? You know, I found in counseling, one of the things I get people doing, and I literally have to get them to do this, is sit down, okay, before you can respond to what that person said, I want you to tell me and tell that person what you think he said or she said. And that gives the person a chance to say, no, that's not what I said. Oh, you're not listening, you're not hearing. Well, those are just a few things. Because, and the reason I'm mentioning all of this story, the story to you and on this stuff to you, is because it seems to me that that was at the heart of the problem in our gospel lesson this morning. Now, the gospel lesson tells us a familiar story. It tells us a story about three of my favorite characters, although one's not mentioned here. And that is a family that Jesus meets very early in his ministry and seems to be a family with whom he created a great friendship. And that is Mary and Martha, the sisters, and, of course, their brother, Lazarus. And this story, we think, is probably a story about their first meeting. Maybe they had heard Jesus speak in Jerusalem, and they invited him to stop in Bethany on his way home, out of town, just to have dinner. So, here they are in Bethany. And Martha, of course, she's always the perfect hostess. I mean, every story you have about Martha in the Bible, she's always in the kitchen doing something. She's always cooking. So she invites Jesus to come to the house, and she, like that perfect hostess, once again is spending her time in the kitchen preparing a wonderful lunch for her guest of honor. In the process, she gets a little perturbed with her little sister. I mean, you know how little sisters can be. They're used to being spoiled and getting their way and not working. So here's Martha slaving away while little sis is there in the living room just sitting there listening and talking to Jesus. So finally, Martha, she gets so frustrated with this that she marches into the living room. She says to Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to get into the kitchen and help me. Unfortunately for Martha, Jesus doesn't agree with her. And he says to Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. There's need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, and I won't take that away from her. What is Jesus saying? I mean, well, first of all, it sounds, to me at least, if Martha is being pretty reasonable here, actually. I mean, they have company. She's out in the kitchen working. She just wants a little help. But no, there's Mary once again, goofing off. So she tells Jesus, send her in. Jesus tells Martha that, Martha, you know, you ought to take your apron off because feeding the crowd is not as important as listening to the message of God. You know, I remember several years ago, again at Zion, I was at our contemporary worship service, which was at 9 o'clock, and one of our worship leaders, her name was Jana Sutter, and she was talking about her prayer life to that group at worship. And she said that sometimes when she prays, she stops talking and tries to listen. Listen to see if she can, in that silence, hear God talking to her. I think that's the message that Jesus is trying to give Martha that day. As Christians, I think we need to spend more time listening and less time talking. We ought to spend more time listening to what God has to say to us. But sometimes, like Martha, sometimes, as I said in that article I wrote, sometimes we get so preoccupied with ourselves, with what we think, with what we need, what we feel is really important, with what we have to say, that we don't really do a very good job of listening. And especially listening to God. Listening to what God has to say to us. So, I like to be very practical. So I'm going to give you three suggestions of things to do to help you listen better to God. Number one, set up a regular prayer time every day. Even if it's only 5, 10, 15 minutes. Find a nice quiet place to do your prayers. Offer the prayers that you want to watch. Pray for whomever you want to pray for. Give to God all of the things that are weighing on you that day. But then spend some time before you get up and get back to your work, just sitting there quietly in silence and listening. Spend some time listening and to see if you can hear God speaking to you. You know, you might just be surprised that you will hear that still small voice of God talking to you. How about number two? Spend some time reading the Bible every day. And when you finish a section of the Bible, just shut the Bible. Shut your eyes and ask yourself, what is God trying to say to me here? Just spend some time listening. And once again, you might be surprised to hear the voice of God. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, like today, focus on what is going on here. Listen to the words that are being read to you. Listen to the words of the prayers that are being offered. Don't just go through the motions like we do so often in worship. Listen to the words of the song. God might be speaking to you through them. You know, Luther was asked one time, what is the greatest, or who is the greatest martyr in the Christian church? And his answer was the Lord's Prayer. And the reason he gave that answer is because sometimes worship becomes so routine for us. We get so used to the word. We are just speaking the words without thinking about what we're saying. You know, we're sitting there, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever gone through the Lord's Prayer and suddenly get to the Amen and realize you didn't remember saying any of the words because your mind was elsewhere? Well, the point of this is stop and listen to what we do here. And in the silence, in the quiet of each moment, listen for the voice of God. I'm going to leave you with this little story. I was teaching a class as a guest lecturer at Washington University one day, graduate school. And one of the students asked me a question. And the question was, what did you think is the single most important thing for a counselor to have? I thought about that for a bit. A lot of answers went through my mind. And finally, this is the answer I gave him. I said, you know, I am a Christian, and I believe with all my might that there is a God. And I believe that this God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. And I also believe that in God's great wisdom and compassion, he created man and woman. And I noticed in that creation by God that when he created man and woman, he gave us one mouth and two ears. He was trying to make a point. And I think the point is we should listen twice as much as we talk. Maybe if we listen more to God, we'll have less to talk about. Amen.